Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 115 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I get a chance to talk to Chris and Ernie from Panther City Barbecue. This one's really cool because it's an interesting discussion about what it's like to have a dream to open up a barbecue place and what it takes to get there and how difficult it is and how rewarding, but also how difficult in the pitfalls. And we get into why it's called Panther City Barbecue. I didn't know that, and that's really cool. I won't forget. I definitely won't forget. They're in the old Heim location, Heim Barbecue location at Republic Street Bar, right up next to Republic Street Bar. And we talk about what it's like following the footsteps of that, and then the kind of coordinating and figuring the hours that makes sense to work with a brewery. So we get deeply into their food, and then we talk about their new brick and mortar location. They're just moving within the parking lot, and then you'll get to, if you visit and eat there, you'll get a chance to watch the progression of their brick and mortar. It's not a traditional brick and mortar. It's really interesting. You'll hear all about that, but I can't thank them enough. It was a great discussion. I know you're going to learn a lot, and I know you're really going to want to visit Panther City Barbecue after you hear this. And I am super excited to have the Smoke Sheet as a sponsor for this podcast. It's a great, great resource. It's at barbecuenewsletter.com. This was started by Ryan Cooper, who is Barbecue Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is NYC Barbecue. They've traveled the country going to barbecue joints here, there, and everywhere, learning about barbecue, learning about what it takes to open a restaurant, and they're super into barbecue news and knowing which restaurants open and close. So this newsletter, it's easy to sign up. Again, it's at bbqnewsletter.com. Just sign up, and every week you'll get an amazing newsletter with barbecue joint openings and closings and news about pitmasters and events and barbecue events that are coming up. They have links and write-ups on the latest podcasts and YouTube videos that relate to barbecue, and they have a recipe of the week, which is hand curated by them. It's an amazing resource. You can definitely tell that they put heart and soul into every single issue. Again, you can sign up at bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet, barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any of them. I would love a comment below too, just to know what you're thinking of these, if there's something interesting within it that you really like. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all my podcast stuff, all my YouTube stuff, my barbecue joint visits, my sausage and butcher shop visits. Thanks so much. Enjoy. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing real good. Just trying to get ready for the week.
Yeah. So what's a normal week like for you guys now?
Normal work week for us. We're open right now Thursday through Sunday, 11 o'clock until we sell out. So our week starts on Wednesday for us. We start cooking and prepping for the week, prepping any of our sides that we can prep the day early, anything like that. Starting to make all our spices and all our sauces for the week on Wednesday. So it's a full 14, 15 hour day starting on Wednesday.
Yeah. So there's no break on Wednesday.
No break on Wednesday. No, the customers see us Thursday through Sunday, but yeah, we're here Wednesday starting about 4:30, 4 a.m.
So let's kind of jump back. I want to talk about your location and all about what's happening right now for you guys, but what's Chris and Ernest, I guess, whichever one can go first, but I want to know, what's your background?
I'll let Ernie tell you a little bit about his first.
Mine's pretty much just backyard cooking, and then from there, me and my cousins start doing competition.
Oh, you did competition?
And then, yeah, competition, and from competition, Chris joined us, and then we started winning.
what, how many years back was this?
2013, 2014.
Okay, yeah. So a good while ago.
Yeah, Ernie and his cousins had been doing competition, and they went out and I think did 3 or 4 competitions, and you know, invited me out. They did okay. They did a little bit more partying than they did cooking,
which is
so
normal.
When they brought me in, they said, hey, just help us streamline things and help us manage the cooking, because you know, hanging around these guys for years, I knew they could cook some damn good food. So that was mainly my role when I came in.
Did you guys grow up knowing each other?
We've known each other for I guess about 13 years.
Okay.
So we actually worked together in our former jobs before we started barbecuing together. We worked for an audiovisual company, and I hired on Ernie as one of my technicians.
Oh, okay.
Kind of grew a friendship there. So,
did you guys grow up in like the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
Fort Worth. Ernie is born and raised in Fort Worth, and I'm originally from West Texas in the Lubbock area. Grew up about 10 years in Austin, and then moved to Fort Worth in '87 or so.
And it's interesting because I also want to talk about, because it seems like Fort Worth is sort of blowing up right now.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's all happening at one time, and it really is blowing up. And, you know, we're really tight knit with a lot of these guys, a lot of the pop-up guys, Rick's Barbecue, Dane's Craft Barbecue. Now we've got Brendan with Smiley's here in Fort Worth. So, yeah, it's all coming at one time.
Now, and then you got Flores coming, too.
If Flores, Michael Wyatt's headed up this way, so it's a great time to be in barbecue.
Yeah, and it's a great time to be up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Gosh, and for people that fly into Dallas, that's, look at these options now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So then, you did backyard cooking and then competition. When you guys, what was your background?
My background, I did a lot of restaurant work, restaurant management way back in the day, and then I've been in electronics and audiovisual for the past 15 years. So my cooking background was just really backyard. Okay. Backyard.
Did you guys have those little offsets in your backyard?
You know, we did a lot more direct heat cooking. We did have some offsets, but we did a lot of grilling, direct heat cooking, tablitas, fajitas, anything Mexican style or Tex-Mex. It's just the way we grew up. But then once we got into competition, my first smoker was actually a barrel with an ugly drum smoker.
Uh-huh.
Kind of honed in on that. And then decided, hey, I think we're ready to try the true offset and see if we can conquer that thing.
But when you guys are doing the competition, that's a different world than the restaurant world.
A lot different. Different world altogether. A lot of saucing, a lot of injecting, a lot of shaping.
Exactly. It's very specific.
So, yeah, you know, something like that, I don't think you could eat on a regular basis. It's so pumped full of stuff. You know, you're going for that one bite, one hit. If you try to take three or four bites, you might make yourself sick. So.
That's true. And imagine the judges have to take a lot of bites.
Absolutely.
So what was the transition from that to doing pop-ups or two?
So really a lot of it was at the competitions. We would go ahead and get extra food and invite friends and family out to just come hang out with us, keep us company at the cook-offs, at the competitions. And slowly but surely, we kept getting requests. Hey, do you do birthday parties? Can you do our office party? So it just started to grow from there. We would pick up what we could up to the point to where the requests were so frequent. We said, hey, you know, why don't we try to set up some places and actually make a little bit of money instead of spending so much money on competition? I say losing so much money on competition?
Yeah, people probably don't realize that it's expensive to do these competitions.
It's very expensive to do a competition. Not only your entry fee, but all the meat you buy, everything. You know, and if you're lucky enough to win one, you're not really making your money back. You may break even if you're lucky. Especially, you know, we were only doing it part-time, so we didn't have any sponsorships or anything like that.
Like the big guys are getting meat sponsors and different sponsors, right?
Yeah, you can pick up meat sponsors, and a lot of guys turn it into, you know, another career pretty much. So they get helped out that way because it is very expensive if you're doing it on your own.
Did you have a 250 at that time or a 500 or...?
We did have a 250. We had a 250 built by AJ's Custom Cookers here in North Fort Worth out of Sagar.
I've heard of that.
So that was our main cooker at the time. So we used a combination of that and our ugly drum smokers that we had at the time. I think we had three ugly drum smokers. But yeah, it pretty much evolved from there. So once the request started coming, we started asking local bars if, you know, they wanted us out to cook some food. And we kind of grew it from there. We started off actually doing it with a couple of fold-out tables, a tent, and our 250, and, you know, kind of going renegade, doing the pop-up thing.
Which everyone here in L.A. is doing.
Yeah. So that's the way we started. So from there, we started getting requests to set up at other places, and we actually would start setting up at gas station parking lots or driving around barbershop to barbershop, running inside to see if they wanted to buy some food.
Oh, wow. That's you're hustling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. We were hustling. The plan was to put a little money back so we could go ahead and invest in a larger smoker or even a food truck. And that's eventually where it led to. We saved up enough to buy our own food truck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we had another box smoker built to go on the back of that, and that was built by AJ's Custom Cookers as well. We were able to move on to larger venues like the breweries around town because we could actually get licensed to go out, get to actually go through the health department instead of going so renegade.
Which is important, which is the route you should be doing.
the right way to do it. So that's how we started out. But once we got the food truck, it really blew up from there.
So what year was this? Was this 2016 probably? Or
this was still 2014.
Oh, wow.
2014, midway through 2014. Okay. We actually started getting invites out to corporate events to do standing appointments every Thursday, every Friday. So at this time, we were both still at the full-time job, and kind of got to the point where we were running out of excuses to take every Thursday and every Friday off.
that's too funny. They're like, why are they all, why is Ernie and Chris always out?
Right. Yeah, you know, I was real good buddies with my boss. He owned the company, so he was understanding to a point. Mm-hmm. But Ernie worked under me, so I was able to switch Ernie to a 4-day, 10-hour work week, and then we would alternate, and I would take every other Friday off.
Well, that's hilarious.
You know, it grew pretty quick to the point we had to make a decision. You know, are we going to keep going and grow this thing, or are we just going to do this, you know, for the next few years?
Were you called Panther City at the time?
We started off competition. We were called Hog and Barbecue. It's okay. The name that Ernie and his cousins had come up with. Panther City came around in 2014 when we actually signed up for our first real gig with a school carnival.
Okay.
And filling out the health department application and the tax ID information and all that, it was time to come up with a real name for the business. We wanted to come up with something that really meant something to us.
Okay.
And so that's where the Panther City moniker came about, because there's a pretty big backstory to it. Panther City is a nickname for Fort Worth.
Why is that?
So it goes back to the 1800s, before the railroad came through town. It was a pretty sleepy little town. It wasn't really doing so well.
Okay.
And the backstory is, there was a lawyer that came over from Dallas that had an appointment at the courthouse in Fort Worth and said, man, this town is so sleepy, I found a panther asleep on the courthouse steps and there's nobody to wake it up because there's nobody around. So anyway, after the railroad came through town, the town started to flourish. The locals kind of took that slap in the face and took that panther name as a moniker for the city to say, we can grow, we are strong enough. You know, this is the Panther City. This is our city.
That's great, and that's a great name to have. Wow.
Absolutely. So there are several businesses around town that utilize the name Panther City, but it means something to us because the way we hustled, that meant something to us. Staying true to our home city, to our hometown. If you ever hear people call this, oh, it's just Dallas. It's not Fort Worth. It's Dallas.
And that's probably why, and I hate to interrupt, that's why when I kept saying Dallas, Fort Worth, you kept saying Fort Worth because you have Fort Worth pride. Okay, no, I get that. No, I get it now. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's a pride thing. People from Fort Worth are very proud about being from Fort Worth. It's a tight-knit community. It's slow. It's smaller than Dallas. It's slower than Dallas, but we take a lot of pride in what we do. And that's why we chose the name, because it means something to us being entrepreneurs in this city, trying to come up and do better and grow. That really means something to us every time somebody says Panther City.
So. Well, now it means something to me, and hopefully people listening and watching this will understand that. That's great. Thank you for that, really.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So you had the food truck, and you were were you starting to get buzz at that time?
Really not at the time. We were still kind of underground doing the breweries. We were doing all the local breweries. But we I guess it was an underground buzz. You know, more corporations were coming to us. Hey, can you set up here on Friday? Can you set up here on Thursday? Can you do our Christmas party? And it really wasn't until, I guess, October of 2017.
Okay.
Till we found out that the location we're at now was up for lease at the Republic Street Bar. So a little bit of history about Republic Street Bar. It's the same trailer location where Heim Barbecue started at.
That's what I had heard.
And we had followed it over the year that Heim had left. And said, hey, it'd be a great location to rent out if it ever comes for lease. Yeah. In fact, I had messaged Travis when they were still in the trailer when I got word they were leaving, saying, you know, hey, how do we lease it? And so he gave me the bar owner's information, but never really panned out. So anyway, I believe two or three other vendors came in, lasted a few months here, a few months there.
Okay.
Finally, another barbecue guy came in, and he lasted, I'd say, about, what, 3 or 4 months, Ernie?
Okay.
And he took off, but we were following the guy on Facebook, and he put up an ad saying that the space was for lease.
Perfect.
So jumped on the phone right away. Mm. And the big deal for Ernie and I was, do we go in with our barbecue behind Heim? He set a pretty high bar for
us. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, sort of.
But, you know, do we go out there and put our heads out there on the chopping block and worry about people saying, are you guys trying to be the next Heim? So, you know, we were confident in our cooking ability that we want to do our own thing. We're not trying to copy anybody. Although, you know, we followed Heim and we respect him and Travis and Emma, great people. Yeah. So we said, you know, we're confident in our cooking ability. So let's go ahead. Let's give it a shot.
Can we go back really quick? What were you cooking at the time?
Right. Traditional Texas barbecue. Once we got into the spot, We were still working off of our box smoker from AJ's Custom Cookers. So we opened the food truck here at Republic Street Bar in January of 2018.
Okay.
And really bad time to start a food truck in January.
Why is that? Well, tell people maybe they can learn from this. Why?
It was just so cold. The weather's so unpredictable here in Texas. You may have 70, you may have 10 degrees.
True.
And we got 10 degrees. In fact, our grand opening, it wasn't really bad. It was maybe 60 degrees. So, but I think our second week of business, I think we had an average of 14 that week. And being a food truck outside, it's not very good for business. And we knew that going in, but we had to go ahead and take the jump and jump on that lease, or we were going to lose it to somebody else.
What was that anticipation before, like a week or two before the grand opening? Were you guys nervous?
We were nervous just to the fact that we had so much going on. It was a rush to get open.
Okay, so your mind was in that state.
Right, right. You know, everything else behind the business besides your cooking, you know, in this industry, your cooking is what's going to make or break you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But there's so much more you have to keep up with, health regulations, financials, everything else behind the scenes that the day-to-day customer doesn't see.
True.
Because it's just Ernie and myself, we handle everything ourselves. If you're one of our customers and you eat food, you're eating something that Ernie or myself cooked.
That's great to know.
So we can't point the finger if it's bad, you know. Well, I can point it at him, he can point it at me, but that's about it.
So you also have, like, the social media to deal with, customer service, all that.
Right, all that. We do all the social media, customer service, all the financials. So it was really tough balancing all that. And I think maybe I underestimated that a little bit just because the area we're at, we did get a lot of traffic to begin with just because, hey, let's try out this new barbecue joint. That's where Haim started. So.
Yeah.
You know, high expectations, big shoes to fill. And then it kind of panned out. I think we had a rough start first 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
You know, we were kind of sketchy, but Ernie and I had a talk with each other and said, hey, let's just worry about the cook. Let me handle this other stuff. Let's worry about our cook while we're here.
Yeah.
And we got back to that really quick.
Were you open Thursday through Sunday then?
When we started out, the bar owner here actually wanted us to support the bar business. So we tried split shifts. We were open 11 to 2 and 5 to 9.
Wow.
Which didn't allow us any time to sleep.
No, and you have to worry about your cook, because you have to cook for both.
Right, exactly. So that kind of led us to, okay, let's try to figure this out. We were getting, I think, an average of 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night for a solid 2 to 3 months.
That is bad.
Trying to tweak the menu to where we could support the bar crowd. Hey, let's do a smaller menu at night for the bar crowd. Let's do the sandwiches. Let's do the specials so we can drive the bar crowd, you know.
That makes sense.
Bar crowd typically is not going to come in and order a plate of ribs at night. They're going to do more of a sandwich basket or something like that.
True, true.
You know, we had a meeting with the bar owner here who's our landlord and said, hey, this really isn't going to work doing nights. We really want to get back to our main lunch focus and our traditional barbecue menu. And he was fine with that. He was very supportive of it. He saw the business that we were bringing into the bar. So he said, hey, as long as you guys make it work, you can do whatever you want to do.
Okay, because people could eat and then they could stick around, right? Like that's
right, right. They do. They do. And especially even on cold weather days, you wouldn't know this is a bar. You think it's a barbecue joint. It completely fills up with people.
See, that's great. Okay, that's great. Okay. So at that point, were you like, was there after you had that talk with your landlord, were you thinking, okay, like now things are starting to pick up after that?
Yeah, yeah. So they were starting to pick up. So, traditionally, the bar would only open at 4 p.m., but when we were open, they have to open when we open.
Oh, that's true.
So they have restrooms for not only ourselves, but for the customers. Mm-hmm. So so they would start opening during the week on Thursday and Friday at 11 o'clock. And they were seeing enough crowd to come in to make a difference to justify, hey, this actually works if we just do the daytime business. So he was fine with that once we started bringing in crowds.
Yeah.
And that was only, I would say, 3 months into it is when that started.
So that was like around like April, May of last year?
I would say March, okay. April.
Did anyone like Daniel Vaughn come by or when did you get on that type of radar?
Around March, I believe it was, the National Barbecue Association was in town.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, so they were in town and Robert Sierra, who was an acquaintance of ours online.
Great guy.
We met a few times in person here and there. So he actually reached out and said, hey, I want to come by and eat. And he brought a pretty good crowd from the conference by to come eat.
Okay.
And, they posted on social media, and then that's when it really, other people from the barbecue world started to kind of notice and say, hey, they kind of got Robert Sierra's stamp of approval. He liked it. Maybe we should go try them out.
I think that's kind of when I started to follow and know that, yeah, that yeah. You guys existed. Okay. Wow, great. Well, good. Robert, good job.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert.
He's an amazing guy. He's a great guy.
Absolutely. Great guy. So that's where we really noticed. And then that was March. So I think it was late March or April. We were cooking on a Friday night, and my wife had said, it was my daughter's 21st birthday. My wife's like, hey, we'll just come up to the bar and we'll celebrate there. Since you work at a bar, she can come have her first.
No, that's perfect. That's great. her first beer ever.
Right. Yeah, right. So she said, you guys can cook a little extra food and we'll have the party up at the bar. So Ernie and I did that. Once everybody cleared out, we still got out of here at a decent time, maybe midnight. But that's not very decent when you have to be back here at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
So we didn't actually make it back up here till closer to 5 o'clock in the morning. Got a pretty late start that Saturday, and we were way behind. In fact, we actually were like, what can we cut off the menu today to make it a little bit easier on ourselves?
Okay.
And we talked ourselves into, you know what, let's make everything. We're going to be a little late on a few things. We're right at 10:55, maybe 5 minutes till opening. Ernie's peeking out the trailer window.
Oh, said, no.
Hey man, here comes Vaughn. And I'm like, quit screwing with me, man. I'm hungover. I don't have time for that. He's like, I'm not kidding. Here comes Daniel Vaughn.
Of course.
So I peek out of the trailer window. And here comes Daniel Vaughn. I'm like, oh great.
Was he by himself or with his kids?
He had his kids with him. Mm-hmm. He had his kids with him.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe he had just come back from a trip to Europe. Because, you know, we follow him online. Mm-hmm. We see everything he posts. So, yeah, just come back.
We all stalk him, don't we?
Yeah. We're like, I didn't know he was back in town. But here he comes strolling up. And, you know, he introduced himself. I know who you are. and we were just nervous. I mean, we were both hungover. We were both, you know, late on everything. Meats weren't ready. I think everything was ready but the ribs. But like I said, it was just nerve-wracking.
Did you tell him that you had, or did you just kind of just go at it?
No, we kind of just went past it, tried to just go with the flow. And then, you know, he asked me if I had a few minutes to talk. And we stepped out behind the trailer to where the smokers were. And this was just a week after. I missed a little part there. Just 1 week prior, we had just picked up our 500-gallon Moberg.
Oh, okay.
So that was maybe our third cook on the Moberg when he showed up.
Do you have a name for that smoker?
No name for it. No nicknames right now. We just have our Panther City logo on.
Oh yeah, that logo, and that's really cool. Yeah. I've seen that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think we went back and forth on names for a while. We just never decided. Okay. So.
you have plenty of time to name it.
Oh yeah.
Or don't name it.
So Daniel walks up, and we go out behind the smoker, and he just kind of does a little interview to get our background story.
Yeah.
And Ernie, before I left out of the trailer, he's like, keep him busy. I'm going to make this plate. Let me concentrate on this plate. So, you know, that was my stall tactic to kind of let Ernie plate it nice and try to do everything he could. You know, meanwhile, we're both just hungover.
Oh, that's great. That's smart. Hey, that works. Distraction.
Yeah. And so, you know, we got a pretty decent write-up. One of his notes was that the ribs were a little tight. He attributed it to maybe it was our we needed time to adjust to the smoker, which, you know, it was more if we were hungover. We didn't start him in time.
Does he know this now, or is he going to find this out if he watches this?
I'm sure he might have heard the story. I think I've told him, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, hindsight, I should have said, hey, the ribs aren't ready.
Yeah.
They're ready when they're ready.
Exactly.
You know, in the barbecue world, for people that understand, that's an okay answer. The food's ready when it's ready.
Exactly. And also, too, when you do get a new smoker, there is that learning curve a little bit.
Yeah, there is a learning curve with most smokers now. I do got to say, with that Moberg, there's not much of a learning curve.
That's awesome.
It's such a machine. It kind of just does its thing.
Oh, so, that's great. I'm sure it's beautiful. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, within, it worked its magic. Within a week or two after that, we started seeing bigger crowds and come just from the Texas Monthly Review. So,
wow, that's so crazy. Isn't that amazing? Like, I've mentioned that many times in this interview, but the power of Texas Monthly Magazine it means everything to people for when it comes to barbecue, for sure.
Right, absolutely.
Going forward, How so? Things are have they been steady since then? Has it been pretty steady?
They've been pretty steady since then, and it's grown incrementally over the months and the weeks, and pretty steady. We've got some other good magazine write ups. We got invited to do the Fort Worth Food and Wine Fest that year, so that helped out tremendously.
Oh yeah,
got invited to do our second annual Food and Wine Fest coming up in April.
I've seen that, and I saw your name on there. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've got some good write-ups from local magazines, Fort Worth Magazine, 360 Magazine, and then we just got a nomination from Culture Map for Restaurant of the Year.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, those little media things, when they get out, they really do help business.
It looks like Daniel Vaughn's putting together a list of the best new barbecue spots, too.
Right, right, yeah. So we're crossing our fingers and putting our nose to the grindstone and just do what we do. And, you know, we'll cross our fingers. If that happens, it happens. But Ernie and I are just trying to concentrate on our food. And
are you having fun?
Tons of fun.
Yeah.
Really? That's good to hear.
People drop by to visit us, and it's like, I point to the smoker and the outdoors, and I said, this is my office.
I know, it's
amazing.
For 15
years, I was at a desk facing a wall. Now this is my office, and I don't regret it, not one bit.
So what would your advice be to someone that wanted to do what you're to go that route? Is there any type of advice you can give them, or
just to get out to people, get out and talk to people that do it for a living? Because you know, a lot of people base it off of what they read in the magazine. They see the sold out by 1 o'clock, and you're quote unquote killing it. You know, it's not a high margin industry by any means. If you're in it for the money, you're in it for the wrong thing.
For sure.
It has to make you happy. You have to have a passion for what you do.
So you can't just get a smoker and you're good.
Yeah, you can't get a smoker and you're going to start selling out and you're good. That's just not what it is. And we don't sell out every day. There's a lot of times we do. There's a lot of times we don't. You know, every day is different. The seasons bring different things. Different holidays are going to affect your business. The business trends, the forecasting of how much food you have to cook.
For sure.
You have to build a cycle and be smart about it in a business sense. So it's not all just kick back, drink a beer, and cook some food. Yeah. And, you know, and just because you enjoy it in your backyard, opening a beer and cooking food doesn't mean you're going to enjoy it when your livelihood depends on it.
Mm-hmm. And just because your friends say it's good, you should open a place. Doesn't necessarily mean.
Yeah, yeah. Just because grandma tells you you can sing doesn't mean you can sing.
I know, it's funny. I always think that, like, everyone wants to be a singer these days. It seems like there's so many singing,
right?
And there's a lot of good singers of it. But yeah. But now, do you feel like your food has changed? Like, do you feel like your brisket's better than it was? I'm sure it's progressed, right? You do feel like
I think it's way better than when we started, and I think we still have a ton of room for improvement. You know, you can't ever get complacent in anything you do in life. If you do, that's where you'll be.
And, for sure.
I think we have a lot of room to improve. We're still working on a lot of our sides. We've evolved some of our menus since we've opened to incorporate a little bit more Tex-Mex.
Okay.
One of our top dishes is called the brisket elote, which is a Mexican street corn cup topped with brisket, cilantro, queso fresco, and hot sauce. And it's a huge item here. It's one of our top sellers.
I could eat that every day.
Yeah, and then we also take the traditional jalapeno popper and we stuff our pork belly burnt end into it, and that's been a big hit as well.
That's perfect for bars.
With the cold weather we've had, we've been doing barbacoa chili.
Oh.
So we've actually been smoking the barbacoa and incorporating it into our chili, and we actually just won a chili competition last week with it.
So. Congratulations. That's awesome. So that sets you guys apart, too, and it's perfect for your bar situation. You had mentioned earlier about the fact that is the next step a brick-and-mortar place?
So a few months ago, the bar owner here, our landlord, approached us and asked us, you know, what are our plans for when the lease is up? And, you know, we told him we had been looking at a few places and a few options, you know, just in passing, he's like, well, what if we look at something here on site? And we didn't take him too seriously. We're like, man, that would be awesome if it worked out. A couple of weeks later, he shows up with plans in hand, lays them out, and says, what do you think about this? And I'm like, well, I guess you're serious if you paid for some plans and an architect.
Exactly, that's true.
You know, it's really a blessing for him to want to keep us here. It helps his business out. We understand that. And he helps us out because, you know, being in a food truck all year, we didn't have a ton of time to go out and search a lot of places. Like I said, we're the faces of Panther City. We cook everything that comes through there. We do have a small staff now, which mainly consists of our kids. They're working age, so they're our cashier, they're our food runners. They do things like that. But it's still mainly Ernie and myself. Mm-hmm. Because we're very close with that cooking. We're going to hold that close to our chest and make sure we always cook the food. That's something that we promise each other going into this business, is that we don't want to let that part of it go, no matter what happens.
And when you're serving it, you know the process and steps, and right. You know where it's been.
So we're just waiting any day now. We made preparations when it was supposed to start the 1st of January, but permits and things held that up. Yeah. We just did a revision for the permits this last week. I just signed off some paperwork.
Okay.
So it's just any day now. This week, actually, we've gotten word that they're going to come in with building materials and start staging them. Wow. And they're waiting for the final permit to come through. But we're actually going to stay open during construction. We're going to move our food truck to the opposite side of the bar, to the parking lot,
okay,
and operate out of that while construction's going on.
What can people look forward to for the location? What's it going to be like? How big?
So it's not going to be a true brick and mortar in a sense. It'll be more of a commissary.
Okay.
More or less. So it'll have a serving window and a pickup window.
Okay.
We will have a covered patio space that we can do climate control in, so we can add plastic draping, heaters, perfect, porticoles. It will be paved out there, and then we'll have the screened-in smokehouse. So it's still going to have that outdoor feel,
perfect,
to it, that backyard barbecue. And then we still have the Republic Street Bar, which sits about 100, 120 people inside. So they're just 5 steps away from the covered patio area to come inside to full inside dining. Pretty cool concept.
Yeah.
The area that we're in, they're pumping a ton of money into it, so they're actually trying to do an open streets concept in this area.
Oh,
so
it'll how fit great right would that be? That. Oh,
yeah, we have, I believe, 6 breweries within a 2-mile radius of us. So for people to be able to walk from those breweries right up to our restaurant, it works right into the concept of the neighborhood.
You're going to be busy.
we're hoping so.
No, I think so. No, it sounds conceptually, it sounds perfect. That sounds ideal. Right. That's. Do you guys ever pair things with beers at all, or is that something?
Yeah, we do. We do. And actually, one of the bartenders here at Republic Street Bar is a mixologist, so she's actually working on some smoke drinks and ideas like that to incorporate with our menu. So
that's
we're
cool.
Working real tightly with her to make that happen for the.
So have you told Sonny, hey, you might need to make another one soon?
Or? Yep. I actually called him first talked to him a month after we got the first one and said, hey, this isn't going to work. We need another one. I underestimated it. So the plans were to bring in 1,000 gallon. We've been on his waiting list for a little while.
Okay.
With the latest revision of the building plans that came in, I think it's going to be a little too big. So we're actually looking at another 500.
That makes sense.
And then a hybrid smoker similar to what Brett Bourne has down in Rockdale.
Oh.
That way we can do some direct heat cooking and then also use it for a smoker if we need to as well.
So, that's great.
So, yeah, Sonny's kind of waiting on me right now. Once we have the final revision of the dimensions of the smokehouse, he's ready to rock and roll. So,
can you put that hybrid inside the smokehouse, or would that sit outside the smokehouse?
It would sit inside the smokehouse.
Wow, that's so neat. Yeah. Like, what an amazing thing, like from 8 years ago to now, or so, 8 or 9, to what you have right now. How exciting is that? That's pretty amazing.
It's huge. You know, I never would have thought, and it, you know, this past week when we had some really bad weather, it was in the 30s, and we had freezing rain coming down. And we have a line of people waiting, and then we sell out within 2 hours. You know, Ernie and I just never would have thought that we'd have people waiting for our food. Because especially the first couple of months we opened, you know, in January a year ago, when it was raining, people weren't waiting for our food. We were begging for people to come to the window.
Was there a moment where you thought this might not work, or was there ever that moment?
You know, you get that in the back of your head. You always wonder if it's going to. But you just got to have faith and stick it out. You know, we knew the weather was going to affect that, but we knew that if we could improve our cook and just try to, you know, put everything we have into our food, that it would take care of itself. If it was meant to be, it would be.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we do now. That's our main focus, is our food that we put out.
Wow. And I've heard only good things. And people like, it's funny because I've asked people right before this, like a week ago, I was texting some people saying, have you had Panther City? No, they're on my list. When I go to Texas next, I want to. So people from other states are thinking about you guys too.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And that's the main thing. You let that stuff happen. You know, it's, we don't, we hear a lot of people talk about the magazines and the lists and things like that. And I think if you just concentrate on your food and it's good, it's going to happen.
It'll exactly.
You know, people ask us, there's some guys in the industry trying to get in. They ask, do y'all set that up? Do y'all call them? Do y'all put invites out? I'm like, no, we don't. We just, just cook. Just people will spread the word for you if they like your food.
Yeah, and if you're good enough, almost anywhere, but in Texas especially, someone will show up. JC, Daniel, somebody, Jimmy, like there's lots of people. Robert Lerma will show up. Like they just know. They're looking for new places too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we did. You know, before we got into it full time, Ernie and I would drive across the state. We would our families would kind of get mad because we'd plan family vacations around barbecue trips.
You're not the only one. Well, thank you guys so much. Is there anything else that people might need to know about you guys? I know it's loud now, but is there anything else that people that we might not have covered?
We thank people for coming out, and we'll spread the word, follow our social media. We'll try to keep people updated on when the building is going to be ready, and we'll still be in operation. Like I said, the trailer will still be operating during construction. We'll be working out of a parking lot. We'll get through it, but that's mainly it. Thank you.
Yeah, and people can come by as and watch the progression as it goes. That would be fun.
Absolutely. They can come by and watch it going. It's right on the main facing street, so they can see the thing going up.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys for taking the time, and I'm so glad, and I can't wait to visit you when I come to Texas, but thanks. I appreciate it, and I'm proud of you guys. It's exciting.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Ken.
All right, take care, Chris. Bye, Ernie.